This morning as I was coming to church, I had the radio on, the Pensacola station. It was the news. I was really like turn on and listen to music as I come to church. And the news this morning was extremely trivial. They were talking about how Ford has discovered that certain things on their cars sell better in certain places. If you live in Seattle, they like air-conditioned seats. And if you live out in Texas, they like the DVD systems in the back and things. I guess it takes so long to get anywhere. And I thought, you know, how trivial is that? And this morning, we are focusing on missions around the world. And here is something that is not trivial. Something that is so important. And yet, I'm afraid for most of us, our lives are consumed with trivial things that don't matter. Tennessee fans today, if you're a Christian, you're so glad that things like that don't matter, aren't you? Even as believers, it is so easy to let things that don't matter control our lives. And sports and things and acquisition of things and activities and all these things become so important, and we become so financially strapped that when we have a Sunday like today, we don't do anything because we can't, because we are so in debt for things. And I have just really been burdened about this special day in our church. And I am so glad that Brother Solomon can be with us today, and he'll be speaking again tonight. I don't know if Pastor will mention this, but we have changed our thinking a little bit tonight, and he and Brother Stensis are going to be the two speakers. Pastor is not preaching tonight. Service will be a little shorter. I know they've been a little long this week. But I pray that today, as you hear Brother Solomon, you hear preacher this morning, Brother Solomon tonight, Brother Stensis tonight, that God will burden your heart for the lost world. Folks, we need a reality check. The majority of things we think are important aren't. Now, Brother Solomon is going to come, missionary to Nigeria, West Africa, a native of Nigeria, West Africa, came to America how many years ago to Tennessee Temple? 67. And knew nothing about American culture. I don't know how much he's going to share his testimony. May do that some tonight. I'm not sure. But it's just an exciting testimony. Knew very little and came and knew nobody. And God just made a way for him, and God has used him mightily. And he's going to start with the DVD. Now, we're going to do all we can to help you to hear this. Do you want to say something before that? We'll let you have this, and then we'll probably have to use this so they can hear the DVD. So,
thank you. It's always a blessing to be among God's children. I'm glad to be here this morning. You are going to watch the DVD here. One thing I'd like for you to keep in mind is that for every person you see here, Jesus died for them. Every single person you see on the picture, Christ died for them. And he gave his life so that they can be saved. One thing that I want to remind you of, if churches like your church had not sent me there, they wouldn't be here, and they wouldn't be in heaven either. They're on this picture saved with assurance of going to heaven because somebody believed that Jesus died for the whole world. And they ought to be given the privilege to at least hear the gospel once in their lives. And they got saved. So this is the result of missions. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if they have to hear the word of God, somebody must go. And if somebody must go to preach, then somebody must send them. This is our divine responsibility as a church, as individuals, to have a part in getting others to hear the gospel and be saved.
Good. Yes, good.
What's that too? This thing?
I'll be to you. Good.
Pushed the wrong button, my fault.
Passe tantos tacos a beto pa que saiu de em quintila e su paca com azul. Cansian de tuarisa beto colanda e andi. Beto pa que saiu um bote pa imba. Sambu masumu Betu yitu kainki Mayon so kele kwiza Betu baki sayon bote bayimbay Bayimbay Betu suga takwiza Banayan zambi Takwina masuyo Betu yimbila Yilumbu betu nambu Betu baki sayon bote bayimbay
If you had watched the pictures, the last part of the pictures, you have water with cans, plastic cans. Uh-huh. I intentionally put that in the pictures to see how blessed you are in this country. For you Americans, you are so blessed. God is good to you. Whenever I see any American complaining, sometimes I wish the earth would open them and swallow them up. Oh, yes. La Cora is this. God is good to you. Every single person in this building can go to the house. Just turn on a tap. You have hot water, cold water. Water is essential thing, very essential everywhere. But you know there are people who do not have water. We have to travel far away to get water. If you don't live in the city, you don't have water. Even those who live in the city. But every one of you have the privilege. just common water, which is essential commodity. You've got to have that to live. But Americans, you have that plenty. Plenty. Hot water, cold water. Even when you want the coldest, you can get it. Just by turning on the tap. You ought to thank God. You ought to thank God. More so when you're a Christian. God is good to you. With the goodness of God, you need to draw closer to Jesus and thank him every day for saving you and for giving you the privilege to enjoy that which he had given to you. And also, don't be selfish. Think about others. And I thank God for Americans. You are a given people. You give so that others can have. But we need to do more when it comes to missions. I had a message to preach on mission, to teach. I got it sitting this morning to read my message over again, only to forget that. Looking through my Bible this morning, at this place, I couldn't find that. I have another message. I think that's what God wants me to preach and to teach. So I want to stay on that, and I believe God, anytime we turn into the pages of this book, God has something for us. And he said, and we must listen. Okay. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7. Second Kings chapter 7. Please take your Bible. I read. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord will make the windows in heaven, might these things be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. Verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the king of Hittites and the king of Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents, and their horses, and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. Verse 8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver, and gold, and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Father, speak to us. We are your children. We need to be spoken to. And we are here for that purpose. May the Spirit of God touch our hearts and draw us closer to Jesus this morning. In Christ Jesus' name we ask. Amen. This is a very thrilling story. Very dramatic. The Bible tells us that during the days of Prophet Elisha, there was a severe famine, starvation in the city of Samaria. And this starvation came as a result of a wicked Assyrian king. And these Assyrians were wicked and ungodly. They attacked Samaria. And because of their wickedness, they resolved they weren't going to shoot bows and arrows, and they are not even going to use their sword to kill. All they would do is to stab the Samaritans to death. They rejoiced in seeing the Samaritans starving themselves to death. So what they did after they have captured Samaria, the city of Samaria, when they captured it, they locked the eastern gate, the western gate, the northern gate, even the southern gate. Every gate was locked. Nobody could go in and nobody could come out. When the Samaritans had fed on all their food, they had nothing left to eat. And they were dying of starvation, dying of famine. They were dying thousands. When they were dying, the Bible tells us that the famine was so severe that even women who were tender in heart were boiling their own children for food. They became cannibals. Can you imagine this? But while this was happening, God in his mercy, God in his grace, intervened. God said he wasn't going to watch his people to suffer. So God moved in. And God called his own prophet, Elisha. Say, Elisha, I have a message of hope. Good news. I want you to go to Samaria and tell them, I've seen the afflictions. I have seen the afflictions. And this is about time. Enough is enough. I will intercede. Go and tell them that tomorrow there will be plenty of food. Tomorrow, nobody will die. No one will die anymore. Tomorrow, I will do wonders. I will feed them. Man had done what he could, but I will do what God can. So God sent his prophet Elisha. Go to tell them that tomorrow, there will be plenty of food in Samaria. No more starvation. So this prophet of God, Elisha, took the word of God and went to Samaria. Unfortunate enough for him, he met the king's right-hand man. The man who was next to the king, an advisor to the king. So he told him, he said, look, God has sent me with a message of good news. God has sent me that tomorrow there will be no famine. Tomorrow there will be plenty. But this man looked at the man of God, the prophet of God who had brought the message. He looked at him. He looked at his face and he said, look, are you telling me truth? Even if God had to open windows in heaven, would this thing be? He doubted. Doubted the word of God. Doubted the man of God. And the man of God looked at him and said, look, whether you believe or not, it won't change what God wants to do. Whatever God says, he will do. But this is the point. You will see it with your eyes. It will happen before your eyes, but you will not taste of it. So the man went away. But at this time, there were four leprous men who were living outside Samaria. They were living outside the wall of Samaria. They've been ostracized from the society because of their leprosy. So these four lepers were living outside the wall of Samaria. While they were living there, they decided, look, we're living at the mercy of Samaria. And these Samaritans don't have food. Anytime they have food, they will throw it and we feed on it. But now they don't have food. What should we do? The Samaritans are dying. We can't go to Samaria. And if we sit here with no food, we'll die. So we will take advantage. We are going to go to the Syrian camp. If they kill us, we'll die. If they preserve our life, we'll live. So they started moving to the camp of the Syrians. When they got there, plenty of food. All the booties that they had gotten from Samaria, they saw gold, diamond, everything. And they ate and ate and ate. These lepers, they were not even fit for society. They were ostracized. They fed on the food, took the garment, took the gold, hid it, came back. And there was plenty of food. And they said, look, we do not well. If we hold our peace, we must speak out and tell the people of Samaria that there's plenty here. If we don't, and we become selfish, and wait till morning light, God's judgment will fall upon us. So they went and told the people of Samaria, and everybody in Samaria came there, and they all had plenty to eat. As the prophet said, plenty of food, gold, garment, they saw it there. I read this story many years ago in Africa. When I read the story, I sat down, pondering on the story. Then I asked God, I said, why would God put this story in the Bible for me to read? Something that had happened many, many years ago. Why did God put this here for me to read today? What exactly does God want to teach me from this story? And I learned four things. God used four things to speak to me from this story. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. The truth that I got from the story, I want to share that with you. If you look at verse 1, please go back to it. Then Elisha said, that is the prophet, hear ye the word of the Lord. Friends, today I want to let you hear the truth. What we need today, what you need in your life today, is not money, it's not wealth. What you and I need today is to go back to the Bible, hear the word of what? Of the Lord. What we need to hear, listen, friends, listen. What you need in your life, what I need in my life, is nothing but what God says. Please get it. Try it. Practice it. And you see that the word of God can meet every need in our lives. Let me share this with you. There are many voices calling us. There are many voices. The first voice that's calling us to listen, to hear, the voice of the world. Listen, Satan is so deceptive. Satan is a liar. Satan does not seek my welfare. Satan seeks my destructions. He will arrange the things of this world to attract me. To attract me. Anytime I make up my mind to want to walk with God, fellowship with God, draw closer to God, he'll cause the things of this world to draw me back. The voice of the world is calling all of us. And the voice of the world is crying, "Hear, listen to me." Friends, we need not to listen to the voice of this world. This world is full of misery. This world is full of disappointment. This world is full of frustration. The world has nothing to offer us. Jesus said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of God is not where? In him." We are in the world, but not of the world. I've told my people in Africa, I want you to get this. If the things of this world can make people happy, Americans will be the happiest. You have it all. Does it make you happy? Makes you empty. Empty. Listen to the word of God. Do not hear the voice of this world. It's the voice of destruction. It's the voice of deceit. It's lying. Friends, let's get back to the basic. Hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. This book, one of the great treasures that God had given to mankind. Build your life in it. The BIBLE. Yes, that's the book for me. On this, I will stand and stand forever. Not only the voice of the world is calling us to listen to him, we have the voice of our own self. Self. The greatest enemy that I have when it comes to walking and serving God is this self. Anytime you want to serve God, self will come and stop you. Self. The flesh. You know what Bible says? They that are in the flesh cannot please what? God. Paul says, "I die daily." We must die to self. When I want to pray, self tells me, "No, you are tired. There's not time for it." When I want to read the Bible, "Oh, you don't need the Bible now. Wait." Self, the self, 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 flesh, 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 flesh. We must not listen to self. The voice of self, no! Let's be dead to it and hear the word of God. Listen to me. When a man hears God's word, that man won't be deceived. No, you can't be the same when you hear God's word. When I'm troubled and I'm wearied and I'm frustrated and I'm disappointed and I go back to this book, I'm encouraged. I'm stirred up. Hear ye the word of God. Friend, you read God's word. To hear God's word. I have one reason why we have to hear the word of God. One reason why a man must listen and hear the word of God is that the word of God is certain. It is what? Certain. Changes come all the time, but God's word will stand. It doesn't change. It's certain. And whether we hear God's word and believe it or not, it's certain. I want you to take your Bible and see with me. The word of God is so certain. The certainty of God's word. Joshua. Let's go to Joshua 21. Joshua 21. Please go to Joshua 21. The book of Joshua. Yes. Joshua 21. I read. Joshua chapter 21. the certainty of God's word. You see, in Joshua 21, the last verse I read, this is Joshua, said, "There fail not aught of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel." All came to what? All came to what? May God help us to build our life, our soul, our spirit on this. Everything God says here will come to pass. They are certain. Hey, we see changes around us. We see changes in ourselves. People change. The world is changing. This book doesn't change. It stands all the time. It's certain. Whatever God says in this book will come to what? Pass. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't change God's word. God's word will come to what? Pass. This is why we need to build our lives, our hope, our desire on this book. It works. This book works. I've tried the promises of God's word personally. And I want to tell you, every time I take the promises of God and try it and work in my life, I put TP, tested and proved. It works. Build your faith on the word of God. Whatever God says will come to pass. You want to be happy? You want to have a blessed hope? Let it stand in this book. In this book. I thank God for this book. The Bible. I believe it. It works for me. It works for me. It can work for you. It can work for you. It can work for you. This book here. Money will finish. God's word will not finish. Money, wealth, they can't satisfy your heart longing, your desire inside here. They can't. Oh, you can look good. You can smile, but underneath, empty. But take God's word and apply it into your soul and you'll be the happiest person. Yes. Yes, I'm not talking about silver and gold. I'm talking about God's word surpasses all that. Try it. Hear God's word. Again, grass withered, flower faded. But the word of our God abided for what? Ever. Build your life on the solid rock. God's word. God's word. It changes life. It makes you happy. Encouragement. It comes from here. If you know Jesus and you have God's word, you need nobody else. That's it. God's word. One time, Jesus was talking, preaching, speaking. Then the people were going away. The people were scattering. They couldn't take the word of God. And Jesus turned around. He looked at his disciples and said, "Are you also going away?" You know what he said? "Where can we go? You have the word of what? Life." You don't know life until you build your life upon God's word. That's where life is. Oh yes. You know why we are where we are today? Empty, confused, frustrated about life. Things aren't running smoothly. No satisfaction. negligence of God's word. That's it. God knows your need. When he put every word down, he had you in mind. He has me in mind to meet every need. Amen. Believe me, this book works. Hear God's word. It's one thing to hear God's word. It's quite another thing to believe God's word. Yes, it's one thing to hear God's word. It's quite another thing to believe God's word. Yes. God's word should generate faith. Faith to believe God, to believe his word. Yes. If you hear God's word and you don't believe it, what good is it? It doesn't work. This is where we are. We don't believe it. We hear it, but we don't heed to it. But let me tell you something. When a man hears God's word and he heeds to God's word, he obeys and believes God's word, that man would experience supernatural happenings in his life. Supernatural happenings will happen when you hear God's word and believe it. Amen? Amen? Hey. When a man hears God's word and he heeds to God's word, that man will not be the same. He will experience the presence, the power of God in his life. What God says he will do, that man will experience it because he believes it. Believe in God's word. Don't only hear it, heed it. Heed to it. Believe it. Oh yes, unbelief. Unbelief has landed us. You see, I told you Satan is very deceptive. He's so deceptive. He doesn't seek my welfare. Satan wants to make me miserable. For example, he's gotten out all of us this morning. We woke up, dressed up. Satan will even wake you up. Get up, get up, get up. Dress up. Today is Sunday. Don't stay home. We'll bring you here. Where's your Bible? Get the Bible. Get the Bible. You get a Bible. Come to the house of God. You go to the house of God. You hear the preacher preaching. Preaching. Satan tells you, don't believe a word of it. Don't believe it. It won't work. That's where we are. But when a man believes what God says, great things happen. Let me show one verse. Matthew 13:58. Matthew 13:58. Go there. Oh, I wish I had time. Oh, yes. Oh, here is it. This is it. Matthew 13:58. The Lord Jesus did many mighty works. Everywhere he went to, he manifested his power in the life of people. The blind saw, the crippled walk. Even the dead he raised. Life was changed. The brokenhearted he fed. When he went to his hometown, the Bible tells me in Matthew 13:58, he said he didn't do any mighty work there because of what? Friends, believe me. I'm talking experience from this book. Believe God, believe his word. When you believe God's word, you hear it, you believe it, and put your life in it. God will manifest his power in your life. Your life will be changed. Transformed. This is life. It's real. It's not empty words. It works. Christians, take God's word. Believe it. Say, this is what God said. I'm doing it. You'll be shouting glory.
glory.
Have you ever danced without a drum? No drumming, but here you are dancing, happy, inside, smiling, all by yourself. When God works, when you try God, believe God's will, it happens. Amen? Amen? Burdens will be lifted. God will be in action. You will see him. He will be real to you. Hear God's word. Go back to it. Heed to God's word. You know why we don't herald God's word? We don't witness. Because God is not doing great things in our life. When you hear God's word and God started acting in your life, when you heed to it and he started working, you will talk. You will speak out for Jesus. You tell people what Jesus had done in your life. Because you see him moving in your life. May God help us. All I want to say today, go back to the basic. Hear the word of God. Heed the word of God. And you will herald God's word. You'll be a witness. Not only in America, but everywhere around. Amen? Believe his word. He wants to do a mighty work in my life if I believe.